Hi guys, thank you so much for joining me here on the very first episode of Not By Sight. I can't think of a better time to launch a podcast of this nature when I look at our current circumstances from COVID-19. I mean, most of us are experiencing fear, uncertainty, and are really struggling in this new normal. Life feels shaky, but we are all trying to stay grounded. The question is, how do we do that when the news keeps churning out anxiety-producing reports and predicts an unstable future? When we are all in isolation or losing jobs or worrying about loved ones getting sick? I mean, our eyes and our ears are all struggling to take it all in. These are the exact moments when we need to be so mindful of what we are taking in, the content of what we are consuming. Because if we are consuming doom and gloom, it will consume us. It's in times like these that we have to choose to walk by faith, not by sight, to live by believing in the unseen. This is faith. And it is what sustains and carries us through the dark into the light. I want this podcast to be a source of encouragement and hope for you. I want it to be a platform that helps all of us to overcome our fears with faith and reveal how God uses difficult times to increase our faith in Him. On each episode, I'll be interviewing friends who have faced real adversity and find out how God showed up in the midst of it. The first story I'm going to share with you guys is my own. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Psalm 118, 17. This verse is etched on a necklace that I wear every day to remind myself that God healed me of cancer and that He wants me to share my story. The first time I got breast cancer was 15 years ago. I was 28. It was stage one, and I didn't have to do chemo. I got through it, and looking back, it wasn't that bad. I can say that because the second breast cancer I got 4 years ago was the scariest thing I have ever gone through. On August 2, 2015, during a self-breast exam, I found a thickening deep in my left breast. It didn't feel like a lump like the first time, but I knew it was concerning. I was still breastfeeding my only son, Isaac, who was 1.5 at the time, but I was unable to nurse for my left breast because my milk never came in due to that first cancer. I was only nursing on my right side. I scheduled my annual screening, and I was worried. The night before my doctor's appointment, my husband, Craig, and Isaac were playing on the bed, laughing, and I remember saying to myself, enjoy this moment, this night of sweet laughter, of innocence, because it might be your last night in your life as you know it, your last night before the knowing comes. And it was. The next morning, I would hear the words, "It's cancer," again. But it wasn't the same breast cancer. It was a new cancer, a rare kind and more aggressive. All I could think of was my little Isaac. When I got home, I laid myself face first on the floor and begged God through my tears to let me live to raise my 20-month-old son. I couldn't read anything in the Bible except for the book of Psalms. King David became my best friend because he looked to the Lord to save him repeatedly, a man who knew heartbreak, desperation, and fear, but a man who also spoke of the Lord's faithfulness, mercy, and unfailing love. David's words became my prayers, and they comforted me. In the darkest moments of my life, the only one who calmed me was the Lord Himself. All I had to do was tell Him my heart, lay it all out on the line. I'd collapse in His presence, and He met me there every single time, immersing me in the calmest waters where all I could feel was His love and peace. He knew what my spirit and soul most needed because He was my creator and my life sustainer. On the day I was diagnosed, I read these words in the devotional Jesus Calling. When things seem to be going all wrong, stop and affirm your trust in me. Calmly bring these matters to me and leave them in my capable hands. The corresponding scripture was Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I knew that Jesus was my only hope for healing, and I knew that I needed to pray boldly. Only a month before, my pastor had preached on the significance of bold prayers. He talked about how bold prayers got bold answers and that timid prayers brought timid answers. I immediately reached out to people for prayer, and I went to Facebook and asked everyone to pray boldly on my behalf. 10 days later, on a flight down to MD Anderson for a second opinion, I started reading Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. That last verse leapt off the page, and I knew it was God speaking to me. It became my mantra. A game plan was established, and we made the decision to go to the number one cancer hospital in the country, New York City's Memorial Sloan Kettering, for treatment. My husband, son, and mom all relocated to my hometown in New Jersey for 6 months. My oncologist prescribed 4 months of aggressive chemo first, then surgery. The goal was to see if the chemo would shrink out my tumor before surgery. As I underwent chemo, I saw my oncologist every 2 weeks. On the weeks when I didn't see her, she instructed me to palpate the tumor at least once a week to see if it was shrinking. I cannot describe to you how terrifying, number one, it was to leave a cancerous tumor in my body, and number two, to have to check it myself. During this time, a college friend had sent me a worship song called No Longer Slaves, and it became my anthem. Every single time I had to examine that tumor, which I did in the shower, I would sing out these words of the song. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will stand and sing, I am a child of God. And every time I felt that tumor, I could feel it getting smaller and smaller. I still battled fear every single day, especially over the toxic chemo I was putting into my body every 2 weeks. After my first 2 months of chemo, my oncologist had told me she would probably need to add an additional chemo drug to my cocktail called carboplatin, and that it often had a negative effect on blood counts. She had told me early on that if she could no longer physically feel my tumor, I would not need to do the carboplatin. So the night before I was to begin this additional chemo drug, I was having a lot of anxiety. I reached out to my prayer warriors and asked them to pray specifically that my tumor would be completely shrunken out by the time I saw my doctor so that I wouldn't need to take this additional drug. I asked people to pray for divine wisdom for the doctor as she recommended her treatments, and to pray that the Lord would really show me what to do and that there would be peace in the decision making. So many people were praying that night, and so was I. I was on my knees crying out to God, telling Him how much I didn't want to do the carboplatin, asking Him to remove the tumor. As I prayed, I felt this quiet stillness in my soul, like I didn't need to be crying or worried or scared. I felt a stillness, a confident stillness, like God was saying, Deb, I already got this tomorrow. Just go to bed. Don't worry. So the next day at the appointment, the nurse comes in and starts explaining all about the carboplatin, what to expect, blah, blah, blah. And I found myself saying to myself, whatever, I don't even need to hear about all this because I'm going to be talking to the doctor about this whole carboplatin thing and we'll see if I even really need it. And then my doctor walks in and she starts telling me about the side effects of the drug, yada, yada, but she hasn't physically checked my breast at this point. So after a while, she's like, okay, let's examine you. And as she's doing my breast exam, she says, you know what? You have had what we call a complete response. I can't feel your tumor. That stuff you're feeling, Deb, when you do your self-exam, that feels like glandular tissue, not the tumor. She's like, you know what? I'm going to leave the decision up to you regarding whether or not you'd like to do the carboplatin because you don't really need it since your tumor has completely shrunken down. Answered prayers right there. Through it all, God was calling me to trust Him, to replace fear with trust. But in order to trust him, I had to know him, and I could only do that through listening prayer and reading his word. I can remember one night in particular just running to my Bible for help because my soul was so downcast. I opened up my Bible randomly to Psalm 126 and read these words. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who were restored to health. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy." On another day while in prayer, God gave me a vision. I was standing in a thick forest and sunlight was streaming in through canopies of trees and branches above me. I knew that the Lord, His light was shining down on me. His light was breaking through, trickling in for me to see that He was with me, that He would get me through the forest to the clearing. A couple of days later, I went to a friend's church, and the pastor was teaching on Isaiah 43 in regards to the Lord's faithfulness in our trusting in Him, and I saw the passage there in front of me. "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me and the jackals and the owls because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." That day in church, the pastor had me stand, and he told me to trust God, to take Him at His word and claim my healing. He wasn't the only person who told me to do this. Several weeks later, I was sitting in the back of an Uber, and I mentioned to the driver that I was going through chemo for breast cancer, and he boldly told me to pray that the tumor would be gone when the surgeons opened me up. He told me to pray that I would be a testimony. I told him, "God already told me He was going to heal me." He said, "That's right, you're healed. Believe it. You need to say it. Say it." Through tears, I repeated the words, "I am healed. I am healed." The Lord brought so many people who spoke boldly over my life. 2 weeks before my surgery, a godly woman named Eunice invited me to her home for prayer. She told me, "Trust in the Lord as your God. He will heal you. He will not let anyone touch you who is not supposed to in surgery." She prayed for anointing over the doctors and medical staff, and she told me my healing would bring glory to God. On the day of surgery, I'll never forget it, the nurse who led me back to the operating room, her name was Grace. I smiled so big when she told me her name. Grace led me back to the OR. I remember climbing up on the operating table and my two surgeons, two women, they each stood next to me holding my hand and looked down at me and told me everything was going to be all right. I remember feeling so at peace before I went under. The next morning, one of my surgeons came into my hospital room and she sat down and began describing to me what the mood was like in the OR during my surgery. She had this huge smile on her face as she described feeling the presence of angels in the operating room and the most calming peace. She said she had never experienced anything like that before while performing surgery. My surgeon experienced the one true God in the OR that day. God met me in the valley of cancer. This trial broke me of self-reliance and increased my reliance on Him. I had to trust God with my life. In My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers says, "The test of our spiritual life is the power to descend. If we have power to rise only, something is wrong. We are built for the valley. That is where we have to prove our mettle or grit. It is in the valley that we have to live for the glory of God. We see His glory on the mount, but we never live for His glory there. It is in the sphere of humiliation that we find our true worth to God. That is where our faithfulness is revealed." I want to remain faithful to God and live out the purpose of my life. I am under vows to you, O Lord, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. That includes testifying to how he saved my life. And every time I get to share this God story, it strengthens my faith again and again. I believe it is crucial for us as believers to record, recount, and reclaim God's faithfulness in our lives. It's how we fight fear. Just like the shepherd boy David, before he went up against the giant Goliath, he recounted the Lord's repeated protection in helping him defend his flocks against lions and bears. Recounting God's faithfulness gave David the courage to slay that giant. When we recount stories of God's faithfulness, it not only encourages us, but it encourages others to slay fear and trust God in the valley. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Not By Sight. I really appreciate all of my listeners. I know that there are a lot of podcasts out there, and for you to listen to this one means a lot to me. I would love it if you would subscribe to Not By Sight. And I'd also love for you to share this episode with friends and also any future episodes that you think could really impact somebody in a positive way. I've got a phenomenal lineup of interviews where you're going to hear stories that are true miracles. You're also going to hear stories where you're going to learn some tools of how to walk through periods of uncertainty, periods of darkness, or if you're in a valley where you don't know what the outcome is going to be. The next episode is going to blow you away. I'm going to be interviewing a friend of mine whose little boy technically should not even be here on this earth. His story is a true miracle and one of God's divine intervention. You are not going to want to miss the next episode. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Take care.